Hello and welcome to The Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're building, buying, or designing your next project, we got you covered here at The Home Building Hero. Coming to you live today from the Pella Windows and Doors Studio of Wisconsin. Hi, I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Home Building Hero. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Today's topic, 8 interior design mistakes and how to avoid them. So you're building a brand new home, or maybe you're remodeling your existing home. You're a DIYer and you want to do it yourself. That's great. A lot of people are doing that. And, you know, we've seen a lot of people taking on additional projects at home over the last year and a half, given the circumstances that we have. And that's fine. But a lot of people are making interior design mistakes, and we're going to help you guys avoid some of them, hopefully, by just following some different processes and taking some well-placed advice here. So with that, let's jump in right away. Let's talk about 8 interior design mistakes that people make and how to avoid them. Number one, first mistake that people make is starting with your paint color. So if you're redoing a room, don't pick a paint color and then build everything around the paint color. There are so many colors and tones of paint. That is literally like one of the last things you should pick. And the reason is you can match almost any tone to it. So if you start with a particular color, you may be hamstringing yourself right from the beginning. And what may happen is you start going to different places and trying to buy things or filling in accessories and nothing is quite matching or working right because you might have just picked slightly wrong tone for the color that and nothing's working. So paint has the most options. So sometimes it's easiest to take the most difficult thing and then work around that. And, you know, again, you have to understand that there's limitations in certain things. So like fabrics, there's only so many types of fabrics or certain style of furniture, or maybe there's a particular plant or, you know, type of cabinet that you want to put in the room. That's going to really dictate some of the other things that you do. So when you're working on things, a lot of times what I found, especially on a new home, is really pick out, you know, what you want for your cabinets, because that's a big part, especially if it's like a kitchen or something, there's a lot of cabinetry. You know, work with that woodwork, then maybe the flooring, if there's any countertops, your trim, and then work in the paint color, because the paint color, like I said, there's thousands and thousands of colors. You can tint the paint. So you can make the paint work with any color, especially if you're just doing a specific room, not an entire house. You can have literally just about any tone of paint that you want. So that is not how you want to go. You don't want to do paint first. Use paint later in the process and have it pull it all together. All right, the second interior design mistake that people make, and this happens all the time, and people are impulsive, but buying furniture without getting measurements. I know you're excited. You want to go to the furniture store. You walk in there and it's like a kid in the candy store. These places are huge. They've got all these rooms set up. Some of them are gorgeous and they've got all these pieces. And you're looking at it. And in these furniture stores, guess what? Most of them don't have any walls in them. They're just big open, you know, pole barns or big warehouses that have, you know, unlimited space. So, you know, they can put, you know, 6 pieces of furniture showing in a family room and it looks amazing, but it won't fit in your 13x17 family room. So you've got to measure the room. No, and not just measure the room, measure everything that you can. So take a sheet of paper, make a drawing. That's the best. If it's a rectangular room, draw a rectangle. Measure how far from the door to the corner of the wall. Measure how high up the window is. Measure how far the window is off the wall. Measure how far the fireplace is away from the window. You know, measure all these things and write them right on the sheet of paper. Just make a simple drawing. It doesn't have to be to scale. You don't have to scale this all out. But write down those measurements. You know, what exactly is the width of that room? What is the length of that room? And just anytime there's a break in that room, measure the, you know, the 2 points from the break. Measure, you know, like I said, from the left edge of the window to the wall and the right edge of the window to the wall or whatever next obstruction is. If there's two windows split apart, what's the difference? What's the spacing? I just did this recently. I bought new furniture for my office and I went in and bought furniture and I made this same mistake. I bought a hutch and I'm like, it'll go in between the windows. All of a sudden I get it delivered. I'm like, wow, that hutch is a foot and a half bigger than the space that I have. So I had to relocate it. Worked out, but measure. And if you're not sure, measure your room, then go look at the furniture, measure the furniture. You can even make cutouts on pieces of paper. Move them around on the piece of paper. That's where you want to scale it, of course, but you could do that, measure it, make cutouts, scale it off, and then just see how it lays out. And then once you've got something that you think you'd be happy with, then you can go ahead and buy that furniture. All right, the third interior design mistake that people make is just shopping at one place. We all have our stores that we like. Maybe you like to go to Wayfair. Maybe you like to go to the local furniture store. Maybe you like, you know, Home Goods or all those kind of things, Hobby Lobby. Don't just pick one store. Look at your options. You may end up getting everything from one place, and that's fine. But a lot of times, really great rooms come together when you pull some different pieces together. And, you know, if you just copy the thing at the furniture store, the display, that's great. But most likely other people will have seen that at some point, or other people have that because they like it. And it becomes less special, less unique. You also kind of feel like, you know, you didn't really personalize it yourself. You didn't make it your own. So there's something rewarding about going and hunting and looking and finding something and then putting it together and having it come together and look amazing. So try and, you know, check out online stores and look at different, you know, different in-person stores. The other reason for doing that, obviously, is just a price situation, because there are, surprise, a lot of these things are sometimes private labeled by stores, and you may be able to find, you know, an accessory, you know, that you love at the furniture store. I had this again happen with my office that I redid. There's this really cool lamp. I was like, oh, this desk lamp is just perfect. They wanted like $230. I'm like, I know I can get that lamp cheaper somewhere else. So I started to source it online. And, you know, I found quite a few options that were very similar for less money. So you don't necessarily have to buy it from the furniture store. So look at multiple sources. Okay, the next thing that you want to do, or mistakes that people make when they're designing their home, is thinking you have to buy the entire set. So again, you go into these furniture stores, we talked about measuring. You know, a lot of times they show you all the pieces, but most likely all the pieces aren't going to fit your house. So you got to be careful with that. And sometimes it just, if you put too much furniture in a room, it can feel clogged and cluttered. So just look at it from your own perspective. How are you going to use it and what's going to fit in the space? Not, hey, I got to buy this entire set. Sometimes there are discounts when you buy all the pieces. I get it. But again, if you don't need or you can't fit a 3-cushion sofa in a room, don't try and cram it in there and then put a love seat in and put you know, a corner chair in or two other chairs, and all of a sudden you can barely walk in the room because you have so much furniture in it. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to use the room to its fullest, and it's going to look clunky. It's going to look cluttery. So don't feel like you got to buy the whole set. And on top of it, the other reason for doing that, not buying the whole set, is that sometimes that allows for a really interesting accent piece. So let's say you, instead of buying the 2 gray sofas and putting the matching tables with it, okay, you buy the gray sofa, you buy the matching tables, but then you put a fabric chair in the corner, and that's your pop. That's your unique item. That's something that makes it a little different. It kind of is the wow piece in the room. So don't feel like you've got to buy the whole set. All right, the fifth interior design mistake that people make is not having a focal point in the room. So we kind of alluded to that right before, but this is important. And this is important whether you're just designing your new home that you're building or you're just adding in furniture and decorating your room. But you want to have something that's kind of a focal point and make that stand out. We were touring some of our model homes the other day, and I was looking at some of our tile showers, and we don't have a designer on staff anymore that did this one. The one that was there is gone, but we were looking at a shower that she picked the tile out in, and it was kind of frustrating looking at it. It was like, boy, this just didn't turn out the way that I had envisioned it. And this was like a side-by-side condo, so I went in the other side unit, and it was the same thing. And it was basically just a simple rule that got broken, and that was like not having a focal point in there. So the one shower was basically just all, you know, like a subway tile, same color all throughout, and there was just – it was real blah. There was nothing there that caught my eye. We had a niche in it and some different things, but the niche was done in the same tile, and there was just nothing that drew my eye anywhere to make it interesting. Conversely, on the other side, where we did another unit, they had a deco band in, and then they put the same tile in the back of the niche, and then an accent tile also on the floor. And that one was not good either, because I was looking at that and going, I don't know where to look. There's three different things kind of pulling my eye around, and nothing really quite grabs me. So have a focal point in your room. So that could be done, again, like if you're talking about a bathroom with tile, or let's say you've got a family room and you've got this really amazing fireplace. Well, that's the focal point. You don't need to draw people's eye away from a beautiful stone fireplace with a really cool mantle in it. That is your focal point. Work around that. Have everything feed to that, and it'll be much more impressive. So be aware of the focal point and utilize that. If a room already has it, if there is a best asset already in the room, try and work around that and build your design towards that focal point. All right, the sixth design mistake that people make is never making a bold choice. So some people are so worried about resale value, or they're so worried about finding, you know, keeping it neutral so when mom and dad come over, they're not, you know, getting the side eye or what their neighbors are going to think, that, you know, you go into these homes and they're all beige or they're all white and gray, and they're very, very bland. And you kind of feel like you're in a museum. There's nothing super interesting or dynamic about the room. So make sure that you take a risk once in a while and put a bold piece in. Again, this could be that really big pop of color. Maybe that's where you throw in that really bright red, you know, pillow on the sofa in your gray room just to be like, wow, look at that. It'll probably look really nice. Or, you know, maybe you have that pop of orange. Don't make the whole room orange. My brother and sister-in-law did that in their kitchen. I can't believe they painted their kitchen orange, but that's a whole different topic. But, you know, that's where you can put a pop of color, maybe that bright green or that teal. That's perfect for an accent. And if you don't like it over time, you know, that pillow just isn't doing it for you, you can pull it out. You can get a different one, spend $50, buy a nice, really brand new accent pillow in a different color, and you've already kind of changed the dynamic of the room. So don't be afraid to make a bold choice. All right, the seventh interior design mistake is making everything bold. So the opposite of it, where you've got all these, you know, vibrant fabrics on your sofa, maybe you've got a bold wall color, and then you've got this really crazy sofa, and then you've got this really big metal art piece on the wall, and all of a sudden you feel like you're in 1980s, and you got that that pink and that gray and all, it just looks like a hot mess, right? There's just too much going on. It's way too flashy. It's way too over the top. Be careful that you don't have too many bold points in it. Now, if it's a bigger room or a more interesting space where you could kind of pull the attention through the room in one or two spots, have something that grabs people and it's done well, that's fine. But you've got to be careful that you don't have too much going on in one room because it can be overwhelming. You can walk in there and you almost feel like stress. If you walk into a room and you feel anxiety, you feel stressed, if you feel overwhelmed, you don't know where to look, you overdid it. And I remember vividly going through a Pareto Homes model, not mine. And we went into this house and went into this kitchen and it was like, oh my God, this is just, it's too much. They had this, you know, detailed ceiling with all these squares in it, and the insets of the squares were painted like this blue, and then they had like red on the walls, and then they had like blue and gold like accent plates out on the island, and I mean it was all like blue, gold, and red, and it was just like holy cow. And there were so many little details, like I just walked in that room and I felt stressed out. I couldn't handle it. It was like, this is too much. They overdid it and they tried to make everything really bold, and it was an utter failure. And it was weird too, because it wasn't even that big of a house. It was a smaller kitchen. You just walked into this and it's like, wow, this is just a hot mess. And so that house sat for a while. That was one that didn't sell right away, and definitely got heard about it as other people are going through the Pareto Homes, going through our model and going, oh my gosh, did you see that house across the street? Don't want to be that. Don't be that house. All right. And the eighth and final design tip that you want to avoid is never letting go of the past. So maybe you have something that's a family heirloom and you just, you know, want it passed down and passed down, but it is ugly as sin or it is styled out. Don't feel like you have to use it. Now, maybe an heirloom, there is that sentimental value, and you want to put it in, that's fine. We can definitely, you know, find a way to work around it. But if something's really styled out or aged out, like you've got your home and you've got that polished brass faucet in the kitchen and you're spending money repainting your cabinets and you're spending money redoing the floors, the LVPs, all those kind of things, and you leave that faucet in there, what's the point? Like, spend a couple $100, get a new faucet, hire the plumber if you need to, swap it out, and get it up to date. Because that one thing could really, you know, throw everything off, let go of the past, and, you know, be ready to make a change. If you're going to update a room, just do it. Like, I redid one of the rooms in my home, and I know one of the things I didn't do, and I still kind of regret it, but we had a dining room. We kind of converted it into a sitting room. And I left the light fixtures in there. They weren't bad. They were kind of like a real dark oil rub fixture. They still look halfway decent. They're not real crazy or anything. And we repainted the room. We recarpeted, new furniture. And I always wanted to replace those fixtures, and I didn't. And as I look at them, I'm like, they're okay, but it, like, the room would really pop if I just let go. I pull those things out and put a new light fixture in. And so now that I'm talking about this, I'm really getting motivated that I want to do that. But let go of the past, get rid of those items. If you're going to redo a room, just commit to it and do the whole thing. All right, hopefully you guys found these interior design tips helpful. Again, these are useful if you're building, if you're remodeling, or just doing a small update on your room. Hopefully this will help you guys out as you continue your projects into the year.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Pella Windows and Doors Studio of Wisconsin. I am David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. And before you leave, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you very soon.